Morning, everybody. How y'all doing? Isn't it beautiful out? Sun's shining. It's a little chilly, but it's all right. You know, this is what, February? What can it do in February? Bad time, right? Let me see. How about 383, please, and let's stand. 383. I got to stall a little bit. Can't turn pages fast enough. We'll get it. Here we go. There we go.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal our soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus, our struggles, He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like Him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
Sing the last.
Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not one. Will He refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for the beautiful day. The opportunity to come here today, Lord, to worship You. Thanks for our church family, Lord, all showed up today, Lord. We're just a bunch of folks, Lord. But we love You. And we're trying to love each other, Lord. That's why we're here today. Help us today, Lord, as we're gathered here today, Lord, to remember to shake a hand, to give a hug, to say a hi, whatever, Lord, to help build somebody up today while we're here. Pastor's going to preach here in just a few minutes, Lord. Just guide him, direct him. Give him the power he needs today, Lord, to deliver Your message, that it might touch a heart or two here today, Lord. Lord, if someone needs to get right, may that person get right before they leave this building today. Thank You for this time of song, Lord, that we have, and maybe some special here later on, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for the ability that we can worship You in song the way we do. Be with us now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see, 317, please. 317.
Carry everything to God. find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Arms naked shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Thank you. Let's see. Tonight, 6 o'clock, is our evening service and our Way of the Mass series. We're just about done with that. Deacon and trustee meetings on the 15th. Personal evangelism the 20th. Iron sharpens iron the 17th. Let's see. Music committee meeting date is checked with Autumn. Lutheran Homes the 18th at 2:30. Annual business meeting is the 13th. Our ballots are going out today. They're due back on the 28th. We have a nominating committee that we have to put together first, and then we'll put a meeting together for that. We have our items for the agendas due the 6th. It's all about the business meeting, folks. And reports for the business meeting are due on the 3rd. Pastor's thought for the week, the road you have to travel. It will prepare you for the road ahead. Jesus is the fork in the road where the two ways meet. Guys, you'll come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for the day. Again, Lord, the opportunity to be here. Thanks, Lord, that I can be amongst my Christian brothers and sisters today, Lord. Thanks for anybody that's visiting today, Lord, that they got an opportunity to see us, Lord, and to be with us and to hear some of your word, Lord. We're going to take up an offer now, Lord. Just ask you to be with the gift and the giver. Just be with us, Lord, all day. In Jesus' name, amen. Autumn's coming up.
This week, finding a song for a special, and as I was sorting and alphabetizing some of my music at home, the Lord put this one in front of me, and I didn't have the music for it, so I had to look online and purchase it and put in as much practice as I could, so it won't be as perfect as it ought to be for the Lord, but it's the best gift I have to offer for right now. This song's called Jesus, Only Jesus, and I hope it helps you turn your hearts to the Lord. As it has me. Who has the power to raise the dead? Who can save us from our sin? He is our hope, our righteousness. Jesus. them and bow before Jesus, only Jesus. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. You
reminder, hopefully this morning our hearts will be lifted toward the Lord, right? And praise and thanksgiving. I don't think I need that later. I might, though. Anyway, good morning, everyone. And again, we appreciate the motivation upward toward the Lord. And yes, there is Children's Church for those that are eligible to attend that. I don't set the rules on that. There's times I'd like to go down myself. But I suppose I better stay up here. And it is a joy to be with you folks this morning, and this is the gathering of the saints, and hopefully this is a great time to give praise to God for all that He's done for us, and thank the Lord Jesus Christ that He's loved us and continues to love us, and I get everything laid out here, and I suppose that you're all ready for the Super Bowl tonight. I was planning to go, but I was about $12,000 short on the price of the ticket. So Kim and I decided we'd rather not do that this time. But I think I heard somewhere, and don't quote me on this, but I think the first Super Bowl, which was in 1966, and that was the Packers and the Chiefs. And I'm thinking that the ticket price for that was around $4 or $5 a ticket. You know, inflation, you know, so... It is a big event. I understand that. I won't digress into all the things I think about that, but I know this, there's a lot of money that changes hands on this day, whether through legitimate means or illegitimate means. But what I think is a really big deal today is Jesus. And so, you know, years ago there was a gambling raid up in the Quad Cities. It was called Super Bowl Sunday. You have to be an old-timer to remember this, but the feds busted a bunch of people in high places that were gambling over the Super Bowl. But I think every day and every Sunday in particular, the first day of the week, is a super day to rejoice and thank the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's really all about Him. And so I greet you in His name this morning. Hopefully you have joy today in your hearts, and we're thankful for what the Lord has done for us today. So I welcome you on that basis. And if you're visiting here today, everyone is welcome here at Fruitland. You know that. And we're glad to see a nice group out. We're thankful, too, that we can have a time of prayer this morning before we begin, and that we would focus in our centrality on the Lord Jesus Christ this morning and our worship that's directed toward Him, because this is what it's all about. It's about Jesus and the fact that He loves us that much, that He drew us to Himself and has called us to be saved. And again today, if you're here and you've never been rescued by the blood of the Lamb, today's the day, my friends. And if Jesus is calling you, don't resist Him. Be born again into His family, into new life and life eternal. That's the message of hope and excitement and joy that we have here tonight. And by the way, salvation is a free gift. There's no tickets that you can buy. Jesus paid the price. He paid the ultimate price, where God in the flesh came to rescue us. Now, that's big news and big stuff, much bigger than anything that we'll hear about tonight coming out of the Super Bowl. So let's take a few moments. Again, greetings in the name of the Lord. Let's take a few moments to pray silently and to adjust our hearts before the throne. Then I'll have a short pastoral prayer, and we'll hit the ground running today. Let us pray together. Oh, Lord God, we come today humbly assembled before your throne. But, Lord, I pray today none of us are dead, especially those that are here that are believers today that have had their sins forgiven and have trusted in your name, Lord, for rescue, for salvation, that this would be a day that is filled with joy and praise that's directed to you this morning, O Lord. So we worship and adore you today. I trust that's the case from all of our hearts genuinely. You know the hearts, Lord. And I do pray today, Lord, that you'd be active in the hearts here through your Holy Spirit as we look into your word. And Lord, that today would be the day, if there would be someone here that does not know you, Lord, that has never had their sins forgiven and been set free, Lord, I pray today would be the day. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings and the goodness that you've brought forth to us. We can't even understand how that would be, that you had to pay the penalty for the sins of all humanity once for all on the cross of Calvary. Lord, that burden is something we cannot even fathom. When you bore the sin, you became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through your work. And so we thank you, Jesus, and we thank you, Father, for sacrificing your precious Son for people, and Lord, that were unworthy. Lord, today we always are considering, Lord, what is going on in our lives and in our world. And today we know that we live yet in the midst of a broken world. We live in the flesh, and there are many struggles. And so we know, Lord, in our number here today, there are some that are ill. There are some that may not be here for various reasons. There could have been problems in a home, maybe in a relationship. Lord, maybe there are unadjusted grievances in the lives of people with others, with situations, maybe even with the church or a church, Lord, that have caused people to be disrupted in the fellowship that you would have for them. We thank you today, Lord, for your word, and especially for today's message that comes from the hand of your servant Paul. He's a guy that was there, and he had been there and done that, and Lord, he walked with you. And I pray today we'll be lifted to new heights in our thankfulness and our appreciation for what you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, that you've entrusted us to many things, to fulfill the Great Commission, Lord, to be enunciators of your love and your program to the world. And we just pray, Lord, again, that you would help us in those endeavors of missionary work. Lord, we do pray for our missionaries today. We pray for other pulpits, too, that are preaching the truth today, the gospel. And, Lord, we want to dedicate this day to you as an honor to you, Lord. It's the first day of the week, and Lord, that's the day you rose, and that's the power that's given in the new life. It's the resurrection power. We are no longer dead, but we are alive in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that today. Now, Lord, again, as I mentioned, we have a community that is around us today, and many people may drive by during the time we're here meeting, and Lord, they may wonder, but I pray that you draw them in to hear the gospel, that their lives would be changed. Lord, that we would be a proactive force here in the place that you've put us today. And Lord, we think again of our loved ones and many others that need to know you. We pray, Lord, that you would answer those prayers, that people might come to you this day before time runs out. Now, Lord, again, it's a privilege to stand up here for you today, but it's a scary thing, Lord. And quite frankly, I don't know that I'm ever able to do it, but through your grace and mercy and your benevolence, Lord, to work with a fool. And Paul said that only a fool would preach, but that's not really the truth, Lord, but it is that way in some ways when we think about it. We're not even worthy to handle your word. But once again, Lord, may you help me to bring this message, Lord, that it would be used of the Spirit, and that we would rejoice this day, Lord, in all the goodness and the blessings that you've given us. And that this would be a day that we will never forget, Lord, a super Sunday for a super Savior. Now I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, folks, we're carrying on in Ephesians chapter 1. I believe I have in my notes here, we're going to start about verse 5 with that. But the whole point of this, rather than go through a big recap of it, was that Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus about good things. He was not dressing them down about different problems. And I tell you what, folks, I think this, we spend way too much time dwelling on the negative rather than accentuating the positives of our walk and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you think about that? I think, again, that many churches, including Fruitland, have become ho-hum, and we need to be excited about our faith and excited about our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And will there always be problems that we have to deal with? Absolutely, because we're all problems. But we have very many reasons to give thanks and, again, to bring glory to God and to let the stuff go and to enjoy what Jesus has given us. Now, when I go into the school to sub sometimes, I talk with some of the educators there, and I asked an educator not long ago, I said, do you ever have any motivational speakers here at school for the faculty? And the teacher said, yes, we do, usually in the summer. But by the time you get into this time of the year, it gets tougher. And maybe that's where a lot of us are at. I've been in those traps before. Lately, the Lord's been really lifting me up. I'm just rejoicing. I'm enjoying things. I really am. I really enjoy everything, even though some things can be a literal pain in the neck. But you know what? It's all good, right? Yeah. And I've used this illustration before, but my friend Denny Bourne from up at Wilton, he was a state champion wrestler back in his days. His children, grandchildren, and so forth have been involved in the wrestling program through the years. But I always think of the story one time when our neighbor, Don Hansen, who's passed into eternity, but his grandson, Kyle, made it up to state. And so they were at Vets Auditorium there in Des Moines. You remember the old barn? It still is there, but it's now a part of the complex. But that was where a lot of wrestling titles in Iowa came to pass there in Vets Auditorium. And Don, Kyle was his only grandson, and Don was very nervous about things. And, of course, Denny was coaching, and they were in there getting ready to go on the ring. And I don't know if you've ever been in Vets Auditorium, but on the north, or what, the west side where the doors open, it has been on the west side, there's kind of a, Jason would call it a foyer, I'll call it an entry area. But Don was out there. He couldn't go in to face watching Kyle in this state tournament up there. And those of you that know Denny, he's bold, and he went out there, what are you doing out here? You need to be in where the action's at. And, of course, I can't use some of the language here that probably was done. But that's a question I have for us. Where are we at with the Lord? Are we standing out in the lobby waiting? Are we lacking in joy today in the Lord? Well, I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm not coming for that purpose. I'm here to preach the Word of God. But the fact of the matter is, Christians, we need to get with the program. We need to get in on the mat where the wrestling's going on and get out of the auditorium. And what Paul is telling us here, or out of the entryway, what Paul is telling us here and what he's telling the Ephesian church, he's saying, what's the matter with you people? You have so many great things to rejoice in. Why don't you do it? And so Paul in chapter 1 and throughout the entire book, he's giving reasons that we have to be positive and to be motivated in Jesus Christ and to be lifted up. So I say this today, let's throw off the chains of darkness. Let's throw off this discouragement that's in our age. And I know that, it's real. I was just talking to Gene Rock here this morning about how things were in the past and some ministry areas that he and I shared many years ago. Woody knows about some of these things. But we've lost our luster, folks. And Jesus wants us to have that luster back. And I know we're in a day that there's many things that are not working in the favor of what we would like to see. But let me tell you something. Jesus is still in control. And he wants us to be on fire for him. So that's the motivational thing that I'd like to bring to us today that I think Paul's here. I'll say it very clearly. How many of us enjoy our salvation? No, not just that we're not going to hell, but how many of us enjoy what God's given us today? It's the most precious gift that we could ever been given. And I see people wandering around, oh, I'm so bad. Get over it. You know, by the way, Jesus is the bridge you can see that has been built to get over it, and let's get with it. That's the idea that Paul had here when he was talking about these things. Now, I didn't make out a sheet for you, but you can jot these terms down. They're right there in Scripture. You can look over them again. But last week, we ended up on verse 5, and I'll just briefly start there today. But what Paul is talking about here, what he is writing about, is the greatness of God, the awesomeness of God. And I used the last word there that we closed on last week. He begins in verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Paul is talking about this thing that we can hardly fathom in our mind, that God literally chose you and I before the foundation of the world to be his children. Now, I won't digress into the doctrine of election and predestination today. I will do that. I did it at a Bible study Thursday night. And we all have a hard time with some of this, but when we really think it through, what I see in all this is that, you know, we don't want to say that God's an unfair God. We ought to say, thank you, Jesus, that you chose me. See? And don't worry about all this. Let me tell you, God is just and God is righteous and God will make no mistakes. You don't have to critique God. If you start critiquing God, you're going to lose. Because I'm going to tell you, what he does and how he has done it is right. Just accept it and receive it. It's not wrong to think about these things, but God has not dealt anyone dirty. Can I hear an amen on that? Do you believe that? God has not done anyone dirty. What's he done to you or me that would cause us to think that way? But as I closed last week, we've been adopted into the family of God. That's what this verse 5 is about. He says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. God wants people in his family. The born-again believers are the family of God, and we've been adopted in. Why have we been adopted in? Because we had no family that was credible. I'll tell you what, the truth of the matter is, if we're not adopted into the family of God, we're a part of the family of Satan. And he doesn't have much of a family, folks, because it's a family that doesn't have a future. And it's a terrible path, but the Lord Jesus wants you and I adopted in. We've been made heirs. We're due an inheritance. That's coming up, too, in this in a little bit, what Paul's talking about. And I'll tell you what, folks, the inheritance we'll receive from Jesus is going to blow us away. Anyway, here we go, verse 6. Notice why he did this. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted into the beloved. By the way, that beloved there is the family of God. Yeah, that's what he's adopted us into. He's brought praise to himself for his grace because he has accepted us. And as I closed last week, I said, who would ever want to adopt a guy like John Brown? Who would want to adopt any of us in here? But Jesus did, and he does. He wants you today if you're not a part of his family. And it's a very basic thing. It's done by yielding to Jesus Christ. No kind of works, anything else that you can do, but just receive the gift. Believe what Jesus said. It's the truth. He came for us, and he did it freely. It costs us nothing. It cost him everything, and he says, I want you to have it. Okay, Paul's illustrating that again to this church at Ephesus and saying, you're in a privileged position if you've been under the blood of Christ, brought under the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Excuse me. Paul goes on into verse 7. He says, and here's these big words, in whom we have redemption. Redemption. What's redemption? Well, many of you have experienced the bottle bill here in Iowa for how long now? 30, 40 years? And it's not been real popular. All your bottles are worth a nickel, right? And why do you pay an extra nickel when you buy a bottle of beverage, pop, water, whatever? What? Why? Well, the idea is that you're not going to throw it in the ditch, right? That nickel is worth something to you and you're going to take it in for redemption. By the way, I have a cousin that lives out on Highway 38 about a mile and a half south of where Kim and I live. John Resink is his name, but he has figured that it takes someone about the time to drive 6 miles to eat a sandwich from McDonald's because most of the wrappers he seen get thrown out at his house. And I think there's something to that. Anyway, redemption, what's it mean? It means to redeem or to buy something back. What Jesus did for us in our redemption is he redeemed us from the slave market of sin. He bought us out of the market. See, when we're in our unforgiven sin, we are in bondage. You know that yet today, believer, if you're here, but if you're an unbeliever here today, you're in bondage. When we stray into sin as believers, it brings us back to those shackles of bondage and reminds us that Jesus has freed us through the blood of Christ, through his redemption. He bought us back out of the slave market of sin. Can I hear a hallelujah, praise God? I give you praise for that, Jesus, because that's the market that I was in. It's a market I still struggle with, but Jesus has delivered me through his redemption. That's a big word, and we ought to be thankful for that today. And if you don't have it, today's the day to get it. It's none too soon. Quit fighting. Quit walking in the slave market. Redemption means that we were bought back through his blood. That was the price he paid, his precious blood to cover our filthy blood. Paul goes on to write there. He says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. What's forgiveness mean? Forgiveness just simply means that our sins in the eyes of God the Father have been blotted out. They're covered. That's the word atonement that we see in the scriptures. Jesus' blood covers our filthy sin. And I'll tell you what, that is a wonderful gift of God today that he has given us that we ought to be thankful for. Forgiveness. In other words, what that means is, and by the way, if you have ever had someone transgress against you and you have forgiven them, it means you will never bring that charge up to them again. Now, I agree, and we could digress into that today in this message. It's hard to forget things, and they hang on, but folks, we can never hold it against them again if you've forgiven them. And that's what forgiveness is in Jesus. Our sins will never be held against us again because our sins were borne by Jesus. He took them in our place and the penalty for it. I'll tell you, folks, this gets me excited. The forgiveness of sins, never to be held against us again, according to the riches of his grace. Let me tell you something. God created everything. He is rich, and he is gracious. All these terms, again, point to what a good God he is. Forgiveness by his grace, giving us what we didn't deserve. He released us from the eternal accountability of our sin by taking it with a price only he could afford, which was his sinless superiority. Jesus had no reason to have to do this at all for us, but he chose to do it because he loves us. He wants mankind, who God created, back into fellowship with him for all eternity. Hallelujah. This is big stuff to me today. We go on then to find more of these terms. In verse 8, we find this, wherein he hath abounded toward us. Let me just assure us again today, God is right about all things, God is good about all things, and God is not stingy. Now, I sense some stinginess in this room. And if I had a mirror before me today, you'd be looking at one of them. Well, it's true, isn't it? But God uses this ability here that Paul gave when he uses the word abounded. What's it mean, abounded? Well, it means that God heaped abundance upon us, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, the King James Version said. Prudence would be another word there that you could insert of understanding. Bottom line, just say it simply, God has been abundantly good to us and giving us wisdom and understanding. He heaped this upon us and his understanding because you know why? Because we have a great need for it. I have written here, he gives when the need is great. Do you get what I'm saying here today? We're not with the program a lot. We're not with God's program. I don't want to have to be blunt about this, but we're ignorant, stupid. But God, through his abundant grace and mercy, has given us wisdom and understanding. He knows the great need that we have for it. And I can't condemn all of you, but I can condemn myself. But I think we're all cut out of the same cloth, right? God's been good to us. And here's why he's been good. Because in verse 9 it says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now the preacher back there in the back seat, there he is. Denny, I love him. He's my friend, brother in Christ. He's always coming at me with riddles and stuff. And questions, you know, that he's hoping he'll stump me on, and he usually gets that done. But I'm going to tell you something else about God. If you're willing to take what he's revealed to us, he'll show you everything about himself that you need to know. I want to classify that. He does not hide things from people. But people, through their own blindness, are hidden from the mysteries that God has given. By the way, what is a mystery? A mystery is something that previously was not discernible, but now is. Folks, we don't know every little jot and tittle about God's plan, but let me assure you, he's given us the big picture, and he's given us the specifics that we need. Can I hear a hallelujah on that this morning? There it is. I think I'm up in Vets Auditorium this morning. You know, one of my taglines when I am subbing in the schools is the phrase I use often here that came from the corn sheller man. Get to going. That's right. Get to going. He made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Folks, we have been revealed in part to the great mystery of the will of God with his good pleasure purposely. And by the way, the mystery of the will of God is that he loves people. And the message, again, of love of God is the message we're called to share and to bear as those that have been loved by him. It's the mystery that cannot be understood unless our eyes are open, but God has revealed it to us. He wants us in a personal walk with him. That's the will of God, simply in the day in which we live. He wants us in his family. And that's what the day we live in is all about. It's the age of whosoever will, come unto me. All ye that are labor or heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Yep. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Cast your burdens on Jesus. That's where we're at today, folks. He wants to bear your burden. And he's revealed that. That's the great mystery of God. Folks, people that are unredeemed through the blood of Christ, have no clue what God's all about. In fact, if you knew the truth this morning, they think he's out to put the hammer on people. And in part, that's right, but that's not his primary thing. He wants to see people come to himself. That's the mystery that's been revealed in Jesus Christ that has abounded toward us, that's been heaped toward us of his love and for his good pleasure, and it's the purpose of Jesus and what he has done for us. Verse 10, that in this dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. God wants a reconciliation with people. You see, that's what eternity future is going to be about. It's going to be a reinstitution of what was started in the Garden of Eden that was disrupted by Satan and the ensuing events that we yet live with today. But Jesus wants this all regathered. He wants us with him for all eternity. We are not part of the animal kingdom. We are not just objects of his creation. We were created on a level to have fellowship with the great creator of this world. That's why we're here, folks. That's why he wants us for himself. In verse 10, there is a coming dispensation, as it says there. In the Greek, that's the word oikonomia. Oikonomia. And what it means, there's a period of time. I believe we're in a dispensation today called the church age, the age of grace, that whosoever will may come. But there is a time appointed, I believe it's future eternity, that begins today with believers, that we have this time of fellowship and gathering all things that are in Christ. And folks, that's what we are in today. Will you be gathered? And the thing that I like about this, folks, as I think about this and contemplate on it, there will be no more loose ends. Today we live in a state of variableness. A lot of things could change. They may change. We don't know that there's a constant on many things that we are around. And we see what goes on around us today in our world and so forth. But let me tell you, when we go into eternity future, there will be no more loose ends. It'll all be there, plain for us. And Jesus has set that course for us today if you'll receive him as your Lord and Savior. The loose ends will be tied up. We'll know where we stand. Do you know where you stand today with Jesus? He wants you again in his family today. Now, a few more things here. Verse 11. Did I read 10? Yes, I did. Verse 11, in whom, Paul writes, also we have obtained an... There's not one person in this room today that turned down a letter from a lawyer that says you've been named as a benefactor in a large estate. Usually the letters come the opposite way. You owe someone in an estate money or something. No. No one would turn that down today, would you? And yet Jesus has offered that. He's offered people an inheritance. People apart from Christ today are due an inheritance of death because of their choice. But Jesus has offered us the inheritance of eternal life and to be a part of his kingdom as his children. I'll tell you what, that's a fantastic thing. And Paul says that here. We have obtained an inheritance being, and here he uses this word again, foreordained or predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Today, if you're afforded an inheritance in Christ, give praise and thanksgiving that Jesus set that aside for your benefit. Be excited about that today. And that's what it is, folks. This is real stuff. For those of us that are believers here today, we have wonderful things that the Lord has given to us. Hallelujah. How dare we walk around? Sometimes I've told my son, our sons. By the way, Kim's not feeling well today. That's why she's not here. Yes, she's still tolerating me. As of yet. I told Mark and Greg a few times, you guys look like glum and glummer. Well, I've been there too, and so have you. But no matter what, folks, we have reason. As Paul has illustrated very well to us in this first chapter of Ephesians, we have many reasons to be on fire for him today and be excited. Let the stuff go and enjoy Jesus today. Let it go. By the way, it's like they always say, if there's a problem you're facing, it'll still be there tomorrow. And if it's not, praise God. Or if you're not, praise God, right? Keep going. But we have obtained an inheritance, and it was foreordained according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Believers will receive a predestined inheritance. He has willed us. You're in the will. I'm in the will. If you come under the blood of Jesus Christ, what a wonderful thing that is today. And then again, verse 12, he's done all this so that we can say, oh. No, he's done all these things, verse 12 says, that we should be to the of his glory who first trusted Christ. It's all about him. Quit worrying about stuff and rejoice. Leave this place today if you're under the blood of Christ, rejoicing. He's done it for us. We've got the benefits, and we'll have the benefits in their entirety with him, because of him. Praise God. That we should be praisers. A praiser is an annunciator of his glory. The word in the Greek here would be Maranatha. Some of you recall a university up in Watertown, Wisconsin, named Maranatha Baptist University. Guess what their tagline is? You see it all over the campus, on the clocks. It's this very verse, that we would be to the praise of his glory. I like that. I think we ought to consider that, my friends, today in ourselves. Well, Paul goes on. We'll wrap this up here real quickly. And he goes on in verse 13, in whom you also trusted, that's italicized, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Let me tell you something, folks, here again on the basis of Scripture. When you've been saved, you will not lose your salvation because it's sealed. And you have the promise. You have the inheritance there that's promised and the earnest of that, the guarantee of it, through the Holy Spirit of God who comes to indwell the believer. Hallelujah. Amen. I used to work with rail cars at Agri years ago when we'd get them in from Northern Iowa. We got a lot of corn off the Highway 18 grain line. Every hopper on every hopper car had an aluminum seal on it. Bill, you know this, and Denny from Heinz's, right? You get a rail car in, what do you have on the door? There's a little aluminum tag that goes around the hasp on the door of the car, and it's not going to be secure or anything. Anyone can come and break it, but the point is, you know what? If that seal's been tampered with, the car is what? It's been entered. It's been compromised. But the Holy Spirit is the down payment. It's the proof that God will never leave us or nor forsake us because we have the third personality of the Godhead within us when we're saved. Come on, folks. Isn't that something to be happy about today? You never know what's going to happen with a lot of things in life, but you know that the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you because He's given you His Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, now I forgot what I was going to say about that. But anyway, it probably wasn't important at the moment anyway. But being sealed, it's security, folks. Your salvation cannot be tampered with. It's secure in Jesus Christ because the Holy Spirit guarantees it. Oh, I know, earnest money. If you go to, you know, I miss the old days. I miss the old days when you could go buy some machinery and 10 days later call your banker and say, hey, I bought this machinery. Can you cover the check? No problem. Today, you got to go through all kinds of rigmarole. You got to put up all kinds of security. It's not like it used to be, folks. But the fact of the matter is, if you go to buy or get a mortgage today, you've got to pledge something for that. Some kind of a guarantee that you'll what? Pay it back. And so normally they want what down? 10%? Maybe it's more in this day and age. I don't know. It's called earnest money. It means that you're meaning business, that you intend to fulfill the commitment when you take on a note and that they have some security in it. My friends, that's what the Holy Spirit is. He's the earnest of our salvation. He's the down payment for great things that are coming in Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyway, believers will receive that inheritance, and our salvation is sealed with the down payment until it is fully experienced. By the way, when will we experience the full benefits of our salvation? It's going to be an eternity presence where we'll never again be reminded of anything that has to do with our sin other than one thing in eternity. It's going to be the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ that bears the mark where He was nailed to Calvary's cross. All this other stuff is gone, folks. It's burned up and it's gone. I'll tell you what, we're sealed and we have the down payment of the Spirit until we have fully experienced God's salvation. Verse 14 says just what I mentioned here. It is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory. Last verses here I'm not going to go into, but verses 15 through 23. I started this message out last week, and I compared it to a meal at Bishop's, which if you're too young to have experienced that or never did, it was a good experience, at least in my opinion. So now what we've learned here from Paul, what he's told the church at Ephesus, and what he finishes this off with, and you can read through this, he's given us the whipped cream on the royal ambrosia pie. Huh? And folks, that's what we have afforded to us today. Look at what Paul writes. He goes on here. I can't take the time to go all through it, but look what he says in verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you. Paul is thinking about the church at Ephesus, making mention of you in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge in him, that your eyes of understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of the mighty power. Paul's just laying on the whipped cream here of what is given to us in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, today, let's enjoy it. I've been telling Kim lately, I admit, and I'm going to be talking about this some, you know, I'm not getting the time to enjoy things in my life. And I see my life coming into a funnel where the days are growing shorter. I even mentioned, I think, this to Marlon one day. I want to sit and enjoy my hamburger. You get what I'm saying? Not trying to get to the next obligation, but sit there as long as I want and take little bites of that hamburger. Do you get what I'm saying? Paul's trying to tell the church at Ephesus that very thing. He's saying, in essence, get focused on the glory of God and what he's done for you, and enjoy the benefits of your salvation. I think that we're missing that today, folks. We're so caught up in the hubbub, in the flurry of life, it's going to go past us. I talked to Woody and Jean, a friend of ours, passed away, excuse me, this last week, at 70 years of age. You know what? How quickly life goes. And I think when we sit down and look at it, we'll all agree on this. We've spent most of it on stuff that was mostly a waste of time. You agree with that? But let me assure you again on the basis of Scripture, what we do and what we experience with Jesus will never be a waste of time. You'll never waste your time coming to church and sitting under the Word or being involved in the thrashing around of the Word like we do here at Fruitland in the classes and so forth. You'll never waste your time coming to fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. You'll never waste your time if it's something that is tangible for Jesus and, again, will be a good thing. But coming back, and I'm not picking on the Super Bowl, but think of what we do with our time and where we give our energy. For me, I'm tired of that. I want to have the good stuff with Jesus. He's offered it. He's given it. All we have to do is what? Take it and experience it and get prepared for what it'll be forever with him. Do you get the idea today? Hopefully this is a motivational thing that we do it with Jesus and enjoy it because it's good. Now the conclusion. Going back to the pie thinking here at Bishop's. That's the whole deal that God wants for us in our walk with him. And he wants it corporately, excuse me, with others in the family of God. You know, we don't all agree with each other here with every jot and tittle. And some of us probably, we're not cut out of the same cloth. And most of you are probably saying, yeah, well, you're sure not cut out of our cloth, John. Crazy person. You know? But folks, that's the family of God we're talking about here. When I look out at my brothers and sisters in Christ here today, what's it going to be like when we're in heaven? You know, I love you folks. I don't agree always with everything, but I love you. I hope you love me too. But that's called the church. And folks, if we can't enjoy and have joy what we do together as believers in Christ, we got problems. And maybe we do have problems, and we need to take them to Jesus because he'll fix those problems. He can fix them. But that's what it's all about, folks. And I want to invite anyone that isn't a part of that family or that's resisted having that kind of fellowship to come to it today. Don't put it off. But the point that I have today in closing is, how can we not be excited? Please let me know today if you're not excited. I'll do like Denny Bourne and Don. Get in here where the action's at. What's the matter with you? How can we not be excited and upbeat about the present and the future as we consider these important facts that we learn here out of Ephesians 1 that are given to the Christian? Well, I'm going to say it. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. If you don't possess this joy, it's either time to be refreshed in your walk as a believer with Christ or regenerated. By the way, when we are saved, it's regeneration. It's made new. It's not reformation. The old is not changed. The new is brought out in us through the regenerative power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Refreshment or regeneration are the key words as we depart today with the new birth of salvation, both of which are readily available today. You know, there's no shortage in the things of God since COVID. Lighten up a little bit. That's been, we haven't been able to get. But let me tell you, there's no shortage with Jesus. His supply is in full possession today for you and I. Salvation, and it is readily available today. And to that I say amen, but I ask you also, don't leave today without the joy of Jesus, because it's there for the taking. I'm done. Let's stand. We have a song on the overhead. Today, again, if you're wondering in your life, where am I at with the Lord? Well, the scriptures point that out. But you know, there are several people here, including myself. I want to visit with you today if you have questions about that. Today's the day to have the joy of Jesus in your life, both through refreshment as a believer, but also through regeneration if you've never been born into God's family. He wants that for you today. Here again, we sing about the Lord Jesus in this song. I normally don't do this, but we're a little early getting out today. So I want you to get your money's worth. Let's sing all stanzas. Jesus said that if I thirst, I should come to Him. No one else can satisfy. I should come to Him. For the Lord is good and faithful. He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind. Jesus said, if I am weak, I should come to Him. No one else can be my strength. I should come to Him. For the Lord is good and faithful. Keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind. We're going to stop before we sing the last verse. If there is a need today, run to Jesus. And there is help here at Fruitland to help you to understand how much He loves you today. He is strong and kind. He's always faithful. Go to Him today. Let's enjoy the day the Lord has given us. Stanza 3. If I fear, I should come to Him. No one else can be my shield. I should come to Him. For the Lord is good and faithful. Keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind. Last stanza, won't you come today to Jesus if there's a need? Jesus said, if I am lost, He will come to me. And He showed me on that cross, He will come to me. For the Lord is good and faithful. He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind. For the Lord is good and faithful, keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind. Just strong and kind. May the Lord bless you today. It's His Super Sunday today, folks. Have a good afternoon in the Lord. Denny Wheeler, would you dismiss us, please, in prayer?
For that thing, Lord, that you've done for us, Lord.